Welcome back into Cincy 360. I'm James Erpine. He is Mo Egger, and we do this every single weekday, noon to one here on ESPN 1530. Hey, Mo, you know what week it is? Steelers week! Did you know that?
Steelers week.
Steelers week.
Elaborate on that.
It is Steelers week. So basically, you're allowed to steal something from me, and I can't get mad at you.
There's nothing of yours that I want.
Oh, wow. Dang, that's a shot fired. I don't even know how to respond to that, so I'm going to move on
to something that I want. And I'll
Ben
steal it.
Roethlisberger.
Wow, you know, I recently had something stolen.
What?
Somebody stole my work bag.
Where?
I have no idea.
Out of your car?
I'm thinking here. This is work. It's where I bring my bag.
Someone took your work bag.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a backpack.
Yes.
By the way, I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
we both use backpacks.
Yes.
Someone stole your backpack.
Yes. It's gone.
Are you sure you didn't lose it?
Where would I lose it?
Where did you put it last?
My desk down the hall.
Chair. I'm just going through all those questions. That one you can't find something
right,
really
they're
annoying.
Really annoying. Yeah. Whenever I lose my keys, where'd you put them last? I don't know.
That's why I lost them.
Maybe if I knew where I put them last, I'd have them right now.
So it was your 52nd birthday last week. Did anyone get you one of those cube things that where you could find your keys?
First of all, it was not my 52nd birthday.
Is that bothering you yet?
No, it's not bothering me. It'll bother me less when you become an adult. So, nobody bought me a cube thing.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Like those little things you put on your keys, and then you can find your keys.
No, nobody bought me that.
All right, well maybe I'll get you one.
That'd be great.
I didn't know you could use one.
I don't want one of those.
Why?
I don't like stuff on my keychain.
Oh God. So, but you're gonna lose your key. If you lose your keys, you can find them.
Well, I have a backup for everything.
Oh, God.
I have two keys.
Do you have a backup backpack?
My key fob for my house, my house key, cigar punch, and a bottle opener.
What about a backup for your backpack? Do you have another backpack or work bag?
I ordered it yesterday.
Ordered it yesterday. Wow, so it's really gone.
It's really gone.
When did you notice?
Last Friday.
Man. All right, well, you did this with my wallet. Remember last year when I lost my wallet?
No.
Yeah, I lost my wallet.
I put out the APB.
That's yeah, right. So let's put out an APB. If you find Mo's backpack, bring it.
Really don't need to put out an APB. Just type Cincinnati All to an email here.
And just email to everyone in the building. Would have taken your backpack?
I don't know, but it's missing.
How old was the backpack?
About 2 years old.
Who steals a backpack?
And like nothing of major consequence in it. Like nothing that I really need. A phone charger that I can replace. I mean, not some pens. A bunch of notepads with show crap on it and doodles, but yeah, it just
doodles?
Annoys me.
You're quite the artist.
I always doodle when I'm like on the air and thinking.
You know who's an artist on the football field? Vontaze Burfict. And you know who talked about him today? Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. Here's what Ben had to say about Vontaze Burfict.
I've said this to him on the football field. He's a phenomenal football player, very smart, physical, can make all the plays. And so you need to know where he is in that sense, yes, because of how good he is.
How do you go about protecting yourself in a game like this where there's a little bit of extra sometimes?
Just tell the linemen to block really well.
Ben Roethlisberger with the hot take there to the Pittsburgh media. Vontaze Burfict is really good at football, so you got to be on the lookout for him because of how good he is at football.
It's pretty insightful stuff.
You know, really,
it really is.
In the whole, hey, I need my line to block this week. Enlightening from Big Ben.
I really look forward to more of this from both teams this week.
Yes. Can you imagine?
I can't wait to hear what Andy Dalton adds to the discourse.
If Ben Roethlisberger is complimenting Vontaze Burfict, that's what I would do if I was Andy. They're so great. They're the greatest team ever.
Yeah.
Best 2-2-1 team in the history of the league.
Don't know how we're going to beat this team. Might as well not even show up.
I would have fun with it, honestly. If I'm Andy, I would have like my completion percentage against the Steelers on my t-shirt this week or something. 58%. My quarterback rating.
Win-loss record.
Yeah. What is it? 3-something?
He beat him in 13.
Mm-hmm. Beat him in 15.
Beat him in 15. He wasn't very good that day.
No.
Is this two wins against him?
Oh, man. I could look it up.
Beat him in 12, that game at Heinz. He was, again, not very good. The Josh Brown game where he made the game-winning kick.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So it's 3 wins.
So 3. So 3-10 or so. In that range. He's played 7 years. That's 14 times. So it's probably 3-12. He missed one with a broken. Well, no, he didn't miss it.
He
technically
was the starting quarterback for that.
Yeah,
game.
So I'll say 3-11. If I had to guess. 3-11.
I'm going through my mental.
And this is without looking.
So,
look at us.
Yeah. 14, they got swept. 15, they win one. Dalton played 16, 2 losses. 17, 2 losses. 11, they lost twice. Yeah. Yeah, 3-11.
It's time to play Buy, Sell, Hold on Cincy 360.
All right, let's play Buy, Sell, Hold. Let's stick with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And honestly, I think this is interesting. I was reading CBS Sports this morning, and they predicted that the Steelers would win 41-38. And I was like, it's such an unnatural, right? Like, oh, these two teams are going to get up and down the field. I don't think they've scored that many points in this game since 05 at Heinz Field when the Bengals won 38-31 and T.J. Hushmanzada cleaned his shoes with the terrible towel.
Pittsburgh won a couple of years ago 42-21.
Okay, but still,
yeah.
I mean, that's one side. Yeah, they did. You're right. I remember that. A.J. Green had a bunch of catches and they didn't
had
go
a good game.
Anyways, the Bengals are fourth in the NFL in total offense or total scoring. They're averaging 30.6 points per game. The Steelers right behind them, fifth, averaging over 28 points per game. Mo, buy, sell, hold. That Sunday's game is going to be a shootout.
It ain't going to be 41-38. It ain't going to do that. Here's the part of this we don't know. We both expect a lot of penalties, right? Chances are most of those penalties are going to be against defenses, so that's going to obviously give free yardage to offenses, put them in a better position to score. But I tend to think, and you know, you kind of come back to, okay, these teams might be different, but it's Bengals Steelers. These games are typically played in the 20s, and that's kind of where I expect it to be. I don't really expect it to be quote unquote low scoring, but I think the Bengals defense, I stop short of saying it turned the corner, but I think it's better than it showed in the first 4 weeks. And I think Pittsburgh's defense is garbage, but you have to give them credit for the way they played against Atlanta and think that some of that may carry over. And the Bengals are without some key guys on offense. And as good of a story as James Conner has been, he's not Le'Veon Bell. So, no, I certainly don't think it's going to be 13-10, but it's going to be closer to that than 41-38.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot like it was last week, where it's like 27-24, 24-20. Yeah. 21-18, like it'll be in that range. It's going to be ugly. I think both teams have turnovers. I don't think you're going to see the track meet that you saw in Atlanta, okay, where there's just receivers on both teams just running free. No, you're going to get popped after you catch a ball in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, that's what happens in the AFC North. They're so familiar with each other, and I get it. You could say, all right, well, new playbook for the Bengals. They still know Andy Dalton.
Right.
You know, you still know what the Steelers are going to do. They're going to try to get the ball in space to Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. I think, by the way, Juju Smith-Schuster is really
He's really good.
He's really good. So, yeah, do I expect points? Absolutely. But you said the over-under before before the show started, it was what, 53?
54, 55 in that range.
54, 55. Yeah. As of now, I take the under. I'm leaning that way.
Yeah.
In naturally, you know, if it's 29-29, you lose.
Right.
But I lean under. I don't know if I would touch it either way, but if I had to go one way or the other, I'd pick under. So, no, I'm going to sell that it's going to be a shootout. I don't think it's going to be a track meet.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really physical game in which both teams need to get the running game going.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something like 24-20.
How about that analysis? Both teams want to establish the run.
Wow. You could do a pregame show. I just looked at the weather for the
first time. Call me Dan Marino.
It's going to be a little chilly, but it's not going to be AFC North rainy weather. I always love that this is AFC North weather. Like, you know what? You're right. In the rest of the country, it's tropical. It only rains and gets cold here. Right. Buy, sell, hold that Ben Roethlisberger James is the best quarterback in the AFC North.
Well, this is a tough one, but I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to buy it for a variety of reasons. Do you trust Joe Flacco and what he's done over the first 5 weeks?
No.
I don't. Does that mean he's bad? No. Does that mean he's going to continue the pace that he's on? I'm not sure. Maybe. And maybe he convinces me otherwise, but I don't even think there was a time in 2012 where he had a really good playoff run, but would anyone have taken him at that moment over Ben?
No.
No. So there you go. Andy Dalton, I love how he's played so far this year. I've praised him. I love what he does pre-snap. I think he's responded. He's moved well in the pocket. The play to Joe Mixon the other day is exactly what I think we've been wanting from Andy Dalton, just giving his playmakers a chance instead of throwing it away. He did that. He did that against Carolina when he ad-libbed and found Tyler Boyd a couple times. Love it, love it, love it. Am I really taking him over Ben in a big game? No. And when do you need your quarterbacks to rise up? Big games. I get it. Ben has struggled at times this season. Everyone seems to doubt him a little bit. People in Pittsburgh are doubting him. I'm buying the Ben. I buy it. He's still the best quarterback in the AFC North, even though the gap is probably closer now than it's been in a while.
He's a Hall of Famer. There's no denying that. I am absolutely selling this because week in and week out, I think we're at the point of Ben Roethlisberger's career where if he plays great, you're not surprised. And he's had three really good games this year. But if he plays terribly, you're also not surprised. I think there's now a wider gap in Ben Roethlisberger's ceiling and floor. So he's certainly capable of delivering great performances, and hell, we may see one on Sunday. But as cliched and corny as this sounds, I appreciate the fact that Andy Dalton doesn't really play them out of games. Now, he still has bad games. If what we saw against Carolina ends up being his worst, look, I value that. And I think
I think
when you're constructed the way the Bengals are, and I do think they're pretty well constructed, yeah, I think Andy's the best right now. Not the most accomplished. Oh. Not even the guy capable of delivering the best possible game. But best in the AFC North, he's right now a little bit more durable. I don't have to deal with the drama that comes with Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going Andy.
Andy Dalton's the best quarterback in the AFC North.
At this very moment, I'm going best quarterback in the AFC North.
Then they'll beat Pittsburgh Sunday.
I hope so.
If that's the case, why wouldn't he? Because I think they're more talented than Pittsburgh top to bottom.
I said it last segment. Andy, and Ben may outplay Andy. No one would be surprised.
No.
Right? I've also seen in recent playoff games Ben Roethlisberger totally stink, including one here. Now, delivered at the end of the game because Paul Gunther basically said, hey, Ben, throw it short when you have a bum shoulder. But on a week, I think we're at the stage in Roethlisberger's career where you're not surprised when he plays poorly. I think we're there. Now, you're also not surprised when he plays really, really well. But I kind of feel like on a week-to-week basis, you kind of don't know what you're going to get. And I feel like with Andy, we now kind of do. And I think now you build a team around him and add that context to it. Yeah, I think Andy's the best in the AFC North, at least until Lamar Jackson starts playing on a every down basis in Baltimore.
So you would take here. Let's do it like this. You're saying you value reliability over the higher ceiling.
Yes.
Because we agree that Ben has the higher ceiling.
If the higher ceiling comes with a higher floor, yeah, it's what I always said about Andy Dalton. Raise your floor. I think Roethlisberger.
You really think Ben's going to cost the Steelers in a big game?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Do I think it will happen? No. Would I be surprised if it does? Of course not. Think of all of their playoff losses post their last Super Bowl appearance. Ben, in many of them, has not been great at all.
He dropped 30-plus on Jacksonville last year, and they had to come back, scratch, and claw their way back. The defense didn't show up.
And also made some terrible throws in that game. By the way, Brown makes two great plays in the end zone, one on a ball that he had no business catching. Like, yeah, the game here, the game at Denver, after the Bengals lost to them here. Mm-hmm. Like, he's had some clunkers in the playoffs.
Man. I just, all right. Hey, I probably a lot of our listeners agree with you. I take Ben, though. I do.
And this is the first time in either's career that I would have said that.
Yeah. No, I get it. I do. Let's continue with the Steelers. Buy, sell, hold that Mike Tomlin is the best head coach in the AFC North.
This is another one that I would have bought for years, but, you know, you've watched him coach in playoff games and make questionable decisions last year, an onside kick against Jacksonville. There's been a lot of game management errors with him that makes you kind of wonder what's going on. He's run off some very good assistant coaches, and it kind of feels like, I hate the term losing the locker room, but it always feels like, you know, there's drama, some sort of dysfunction. I think the best coach in the division is John Harbaugh. And does he have the best team? I don't think so. And certainly has had games paying attention to them that you go, well, boy, what's John Harbaugh doing? But I kind of feel like he's just the entire package. He's won a Super Bowl. I know he's one of these guys that he wasn't a coordinator of an offense or a defense, but I feel like he gets as that he hasn't had great teams. He doesn't have a great quarterback, and they're never terrible. And there's value there. Now, you know, his team laid a total egg against Cleveland last week. I can't say it's Marvin Lewis. Sorry. I certainly can't say it's Hugh Jackson. I'm going to go John Harbaugh.
Mike Tomlin's overrated.
He's also John Harbaugh, the best coach in the Harbaugh family.
Fair.
Well, actually, his dad might be.
Mike Tomlin is overrated. When's the last time that... let's do this. Multiple things here. One, since 2010, when they went to the Super Bowl and played the Green Bay Packers, right? Mm-hmm. They lost.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they've missed the playoffs twice. They've been to one AFC championship game. They've lost in the wild card to the Ravens once. They've lost to Jacksonville last year, which obviously was a letdown. They lost to Tim Tebow as well. They've lost all these games in the playoffs. They've also missed the playoffs a couple of times. You're talking about the only Hall of Fame quarterback in this division. You're talking about a Steelers organization that has found gems, late-round gems, like Antonio Brown, second rounders, Le'Veon Bell, no one thought Bell was going to be what he turned out to be. Mm-hmm. No one on draft day. He's had the personnel. Even defensively, he's supposed to be a defensive coach, and they have one of the worst defenses in the league. Like, I'm not saying Mike Tomlin isn't a good coach, and if you look at winning percentages, he's got a better winning percentage regular season than John Harbaugh, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh's had Joe Flacco, and outside of 2012, when's the last time they had elite personnel?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens, he's kept them above water. I think that it's not like they have A.J. Green in Baltimore, right? They had an old Steve Smith who revitalized his career there, and they got the most out of him. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Harbaugh 1, probably Tomlin 2, Marvin 3. And a lot of people like Tomlin for the quotes and all of that stuff. I don't necessarily need that for my coach. You know what I need? Wins. And the last time Harbaugh had an elite team, and elite players on offense and defense, they won the Super Bowl.
Since 2011, Mike Tomlin has lost playoff games to Tim Tebow, Joe Flacco, the corpse of Peyton Manning, nearly lost one to A.J. McCarron, and Blake Bortles. By the way, looking up these numbers, since you brought up Ben Roethlisberger in the playoffs, here are some of his passer ratings in those games. 35.5, 75.9, 72.5. 83.1. Here are some of his interception to touchdown ratios. 2-0, 2-2, 1-1, 2-1, 0-1, 0-0, 2-2, 1-0, 1-1. Last year he threw 5 touchdowns. Yeah, Ben in big games kind of laid more eggs than he has delivered in the clutch.
And so is Andy, though. I mean,
sure.
I'm not trying to be, you know, like,
no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm not, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, if you want me to trust one or the other, I'll trust the guy who's done it. But yeah, I get you. But yeah, Mike Tomlin, I think we both agree he's a little overrated.
Yes.
So let's continue to play buy sell. Hold on, James Erpine. He's Mo Egger. This is Cincy 360, former Browns offensive lineman and current media member who's done all this different things, podcasting, and he's on TV and on NFL Network, etc. Mm-hmm. Joe Thomas, he called AJ Green the anti Odell Beckham Jr. Buy, sell, hold that Thomas is right, that he's the anti-OBJ.
I buy it, but that has nothing to do with what Odell Beckham Jr. said after the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He was saying what is pretty damn accurate and wasn't, to me, that far of a departure from what A.J. Green said after game 2 last year that I ultimately think helped get his offensive coordinator fired. With A.J. Green, what's the most controversial thing that's ever happened? Is there anything? Is there anything remotely controversial?
No, the most controversial thing is he said what everybody else was thinking
right
after Thursday night last year against Houston when he was like, yeah, we need to get the ball to our playmakers.
Odell Beckham Jr. is a hellaciously talented player. You know, injuries kind of derailed some things, but a hellaciously talented guy. You know, you take one, I'll take the other. I don't really care who the better football player is, but like the more calming influence, the guy who's going to be least disruptive, it's A.J. Green.
Mm-hmm.
By far and away, yes. In that regard, by the way, he's not saying Odell's a bad guy or a bad player. Just Green's different.
There's
so
less diva to
more.
Him.
Yes.
There's less. I watched A.J. Green. This would never happen with Odell Beckham. I mean, it kind of annoyed me about A.J. at the time. Not get targeted in the first half of a playoff game.
Right.
Right? He didn't get targeted once, did he?
Against Houston.
Yeah.
In
2012. He didn't get targeted. He was almost too passive at that point, right? But
mm-hmm.
But that's how AJ is. Oh, this is the job you want me to do? I'm going to do it,
right,
and I'm not going to ask questions, etc. Now he's a little different now, which I like now that he's more of a veteran. But yeah, that's what he brings. He's the star with a very blue collar mentality, and I'm not shocked that an offensive lineman, former offensive lineman like Joe Thomas, sees that.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge AJ Green fan, and in large part it's because you get no BS with him, and that's a position where it's often accompanied by a lot of BS.
By the way, the one thing AJ does really well, and I don't know if Odell Beckham does or not,
mm-hmm.
but people think that AJ is like this long, lanky guy who can't block.
Not true at all.
He's hit some people, man.
No.
Like, balled him up, and like, he's strong. He's super strong. So I would not worry about that him in that department either.
And,
like, he's willing to block.
And willing to do it. Willing. A willing blocker.
Yep.
And we often haven't seen that at that position here.
I agree. He's Mo. I'm James. This is Cincy 360. We have a ton to get to in quick hits, including a little baseball, a Gary Clark update. He's balling. FC Cincinnati and more as we roll on. That's next on ESPN 1530. I'm James, he's Mo. This is Cincy 360. Great to be with you today. Mo, back with you at 3:05. Mo, what do you got on the big show?
Pageantry of a Marvin Lewis press conference. We'll hear from Andy Dalton. We'll go to Pittsburgh. Richard Skinner's going to be on this show. And your sound from the locker room as
sound
well.
Sound from the locker room. I'm heading down there after this
who
show.
Gonna, who are you going to go try to talk to?
John Ross seven times. Hey, are you going to play this week, John?
You know what? This would be a week I would actually be interested in hearing from him.
Are you going to play this week, John?
You know why? He's actually done something in the NFL now.
It's really important if you play. He did week one, too. He had a touchdown. Everyone forgets that. It was a really good route. Fade. Left it. End zone. No?
I mean, let's not pretend he was Jerry Rice on the play.
It was fine. He was great.
The corner step forward, he ran past him. Boom. Touchdown. It was nice, good for him, but talk about a great route on the play.
Yeah, you're talking about how he made it look easy is what you're saying.
Suddenly he's Michael Irvin, you know. I mean, relax. But yes, I'd like to know if he's playing, so ask him. Are you going to play, John?
Yeah, I'll ask him that.
Gonna
so
get
much
out there?
Is your groin all right?
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. Have water damage? Need your carpets cleaned as a flooded basement left a mess?
They have like 52, actually now, 51 other guys.
Go to RumpkeRestores.com.
Be great if I actually, you know, hear what another Bengal sounded like.
We could, yeah. I'll get other Bengals, fine. Last week I got Thomas Rawls.
Oh, well, you know what? Then don't go near anybody of consequence.
Oh, what? You're saying it's me.
Yeah.
You're saying it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I interviewed Trey Carson the week before he was. I think it was a couple weeks. I don't think I did that to Trey, but yeah.
Go find the least important guy and go talk to him.
The least important guy. Yeah. All right.
Who is the least important?
We're with Mo Egger in the Bengals locker room. Mo, big game this week.
I'm the least important person here. I'm not the least important Bengal.
Oh, okay.
Go talk to Jeff Driscoll.
Okay. What the hell am I going to ask Jeff Driscoll?
I don't know.
Christian Hackenberg on the practice squad. Remember when people got outraged for about 2.5 seconds that he was a practice squad player?
I tuned that out.
Yeah, it was just funny. It was just funny. I thought it was funny. All right, let's dive in. ALCS set. NLCS set. It's Boston, Houston, Milwaukee, Los Angeles. The Red Sox celebrated their 4-3 victory over the Yankees. Karma, by the way. Karma. I told you. With New York in the locker room. I love this. No?
I'm all in. These are going to be, I mean, I couldn't care less about the karma. These are going to be two really good series. I think you're getting the four best teams. Boston and Houston, I've said before, I think the Astros are about to be a dynasty. The Red Sox have their best regular season ever. And I'm a big Brewers guy just because I think if you step away from the starting pitching, which has been good, obviously, here in the playoffs, they have the deepest offense. They have the best defensive team. They have a hellacious bullpen. And L.A. just ran hitters at the Atlanta Braves. Plus, the Buehler kid pitched great in the tiebreaker game, and you got Clayton Kershaw going on Friday night. These are going to be two really fun series.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're going to be really fun. This is the best time of year, and you want the best matchups, and the ALCS, NLCS, they should both be fun. I'm just glad that the Yankees, after the beer incident that we talked about on yesterday's show, it's done now. You guys can enjoy the offseason. By the way, what's Stanton doing in that final at-bat?
Waiting for Craig Kimbrell to throw him another fastball.
What is he doing?
And then he threw him a fastball, let her high, and he took it, then flailed away to slider outside.
Gosh, that just looked, didn't look good.
Craig Kimbrell didn't go after any of those hitters except for Mike Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Mike.
Why?
His name is Mike.
Is it really?
His given name is Mike.
And why does he, what? Why?
He changed his name to Giancarlo.
Why?
To honor his dad.
Really?
Yeah.
You're saying that with a smile. That's accurate? I didn't know that.
His given name is Mike.
I didn't know that. Mike
Stanton.
You
get to be Giancarlo if you come up big in that situation.
That's fair. Instead, now he's Mike.
He's Mike.
Gary Clark, 16-5 yesterday for Houston. He's making that team, isn't he?
Easily. 4 of 6 from behind the arc. I did not see the game. My brother-in-law texted me and said, look, he's like making these contested. He's creating his own shot. Gary Clark will be a Houston Rocket, and he will help.
How about that on one of the best teams in the NBA, at least best projected teams in the NBA? LeBronzo makes their debut tonight.
Yeah.
LeBron James and Lonzo Ball on the court together for the first time in a game.
Play them together. It'll be majestic, and that's how the kid's going to learn to play with LeBron James. Look, Rajon Rondo is there. Rajon Rondo is not their future. Lonzo Ball is. Give him a jump start on the future. And if he's not a part of the future, then you only find out by letting him play with LeBron as much as possible in games that have no consequence. Let him play. Let him play together.
I think it's going to be so much. Imagine, like, think about how good Wade was passing to LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about what LeBron and Lonzo can do. The way they can rebound, push it up the court. Both guys.
Yeah.
They can fly. So
no, it's going to be. It's, people have wondered, you know, both guys need the ball in their hands. Okay, how's that going to work? I think LeBron is going to sacrifice some of that because I think he's a smart guy and he knows that Lonzo's got to have the ball in his hands. He's not playing off of it.
People realize that Lonzo, like, has the ball for a half second and passes it to the open guy, right? Like, he doesn't hold the ball. It's not dribble, 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 dribble.
No, you're right about that. And he runs a majestic fast break, and he's a willing rebounder. You're absolutely right about it. I want to see it together. I want to see it together. I don't know that we are going to see it a lot in the regular season, but why not tonight?
Yeah.
Run him out there against Golden State. Why not try it?
I'm excited. I'll be watching tonight. Mo back at it today at 3:05. We'll have a ton on the Bengals and so much more. The Stephen A. Smith Show is next. I'm James Erpine. He's Mo Egger. Thanks for listening today on ESPN 1530. That's us. I'm James Erpine. He is Mo Egger. It is great to be with you on a Wednesday. You know what Wednesday is, Mo?
Hump day.
Hump day. Getting over the hump. No?
Yeah,
is that not true?
Not really original, but yeah, okay. Not,
is it factual or not? You know, you got 5 days.
I don't live my life that way, James. I don't live my life, you know, wishing here my life go. Away. I kind of take things day by day. I enjoy every moment. I'm not wishing the week away. Yeah. You know, that's no way to live.
Especially because working with you every day, it doesn't feel like work at all.
It just feels like Friday every day, doesn't it?
What are you talking about? It's a great day. Great day. Every day is a great day here at ESPN 1530. We have a ton to get to. We're going to play buy, sell, hold in about 20 minutes. A lot of Bengals Steelers. We'll mix in a little bit of the Yankees and Red Sox and what happened yesterday, including former Cincinnati Red Aaron Boone and some of the decision-making he made yesterday. But first, Mo, let's talk about this Steelers matchup.
Should we just play this game?
This Bengals. It's only Wednesday.
No, that's the thing, man. It feels like we've been talking Bengals Steelers for 5 weeks.
I don't think so.
In all seriousness, I believe we have, because what they've done over the first 5 weeks has carried with it for a lot of people the caveat, yeah, but what's going to happen on October the 14th?
Mm-hmm.
I think this game has been on people's radar since basically they beat the Indianapolis Colts. All right, this team looks like it might be pretty good, but what's going to happen when they play Pittsburgh? Walking out of Paul Brown Stadium last Sunday, nobody was reveling in a pretty remarkable comeback. It was all, what's going to happen next Sunday? When they beat the Atlanta Falcons, very first question I got from someone was, what's going to happen when they play the Steelers?
You got that after the Atlanta game?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I think that's where people are.
The Atlanta, even if they beat Pittsburgh, that Atlanta win was amazing.
It was remarkable.
I was not thinking about Pittsburgh. That was the farthest thing from
my
mind.
You and I are wired differently, but yes, I mean, look, this is unfortunately where this franchise is, and frankly, there's other entities in town. UC basketball, it's always going to be, yeah, but March, and with the Bengals, the roadblock is the Steelers. There are people who don't take them seriously until they beat Pittsburgh. And so it does, to me, feel like we've been talking about this game for longer than just a couple of days.
Yeah, I agree there. And it's been, well, let's do this. Let's do some stats.
Oh, no.
And these courtesy of Bengals.com. We did this yesterday with primetime.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it with Bengals Steelers. Guess what the all-time, and by the way, the Bengals haven't played anyone more than the Steelers in a franchise history.
Right.
Guess what the record is all time against Pittsburgh.
Is it 62-35?
No, it's 35-62 because
right.
The Steelers are
record.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah, yep.
Thought maybe the Bengals have won most of them.
The Steelers are winners of 6 straight meetings.
Mm-hmm.
9 of the last 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 of the 9 of the last 10, 14 of the last 17, 19 of the last 24, 29 of the last 39. And if you go all the way back to 91, the year I was born, God, the Bengals are 14-42 against the Pittsburgh Steelers in my lifetime. Well, it just in the regular season. That's rough. That's tough, Mo. That's a rough outlook. Here's the thing, though, and I was thinking about this, and naturally, I think a lot of our listeners, most Bengals fans, older than me, so they've seen all of these. They remember most of them,
mm-hmm.
and it pains them to think Bengals Steelers. You know who wasn't alive for most of them? Most of the Bengals team. The average age is, what, 25? You think Sam Hubbard, and he's a local kid, so he knows it from being a fan. You think he cares what happened in 2014? You think Tyler Boyd, it's going to affect him, and he grew up in Pittsburgh. You think it's going to affect him that the Bengals have lost the majority of the games in the past? It's a new year. It's a different team. You think it's going to bother any of these guys? Jordan Willis, Carl Lawson. No, I don't think that a lot of these – Jesse Bates, who's – having a really good year so far. I don't think it's going to affect them at all. So, yes, I get it's a big rivalry. I get it's this hump that the Bengals need to get over. I don't know if these young players view it anything more as than a rivalry game that they've played throughout their entire life in college with another team, whoever it is, and they probably just view it as a big game. I don't think it's anything more than that to them, even though it's probably more than that to fans.
Individually, no, it shouldn't be. I don't think it is, but like it or not, fair or not, Bengals Steelers brings with it a certain connotation that, you know, it unfortunately brings to mind the past. I said this on this show yesterday. There's going to be a moment in this game on Sunday where it feels like, boy, that could be a tipping point in favor of Pittsburgh. The vibe in that stadium is going to be negative. It's coming. You and I both know it's coming. This is probably going to be a close game. It's coming. Does this team feed off of that negatively? I don't know.
But why would that affect Why would what happened in 2013 affect Tyler Boyd, who is in high school then?
2013, like, they won the game here, so that would be nice.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Why would 2014, 2015, like, why would that happen? And here's the other
because
thing.
Because it always seems to. Because it always seems to, and until it doesn't, it will always seem to.
Here's the other thing. The past 2 years, and I get that the Steelers have won six straight, mm-hmm. but the past two seasons, 2016, 2017, mm-hmm. is this true or false? The Steelers are more talented or were more talented than the Bengals.
Yes.
Maybe that's why they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bad team in December in the Bengals opened up and just played very well and got a lead, and then Pittsburgh was like, all right. And I get it. You're pulling your hair out because what was it? It was 17-0 at
17-3
at half. 17-3
at half,
mm-hmm. and it was 20-10, 20-3. It was 20-3, mm-hmm. actually, at one point. I get it. But the Steelers are better. Mm-hmm. Everyone expected them to be at minimum in the AFC title game.
Right.
So it's almost like what happened Sunday. The Dolphins up 17-0, and then what? The better team took over.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. That's what happened in December. Maybe it isn't, it's just the Steelers. It's maybe they were just better last year in the year before.
Were the Steelers better the game at Heinz Field in 2013? No. Were they really significantly better in 2014, the season finale? I don't really think so. Were they significantly better in either of the two games here in 2015? Now, Dalton got hurt in one, didn't play in the other. No. Until it changes, this is the narrative. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, if you're Carl Lawson, Sam Hubbard, Joe Mixon, any of these guys, you don't have history, but we as fans do. And, mm-hmm. you know, I expect UC basketball to lose at the Cintas Center every time they play Xavier. I just do. Even if they have a better team.
But how many of those times has Xavier just been better?
Right, but it doesn't matter. I just do. Until you change it, I just do. And that's that. It is very fair to feel that way. Fans are wired differently than players. And again, I certainly do not believe the Bengals, as they reconvene today, are sitting around the locker room going, oh boy, it's the Steelers. Here we go. I don't think that at all. I think they're going to go into this game with a great amount of confidence. I do think they're the better team. But there is, it's hard. Logic doesn't explain it. You know, there are certain things that you can't explain statistically. There are certain things that defy Pro Football Focus metrics or, any real hardcore football X-ing and O-ing. It's there. And for fans, they think of, if it can't go wrong against the Steelers, it will. By the way, you talk about one of those games in 2016. The Steelers took the lead in that game on a drive that occurred after the Bengals committed four consecutive penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Centerpiece of all that was Bontez Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to be on the field on Sunday. Major question how he plays against this team and what this team does to bait him into doing something stupid. It just feels like there is a level of intensity the Bengals do not always bring for 60 minutes in this game. There's a level of discipline that the Steelers figure out a way to expose. And there's a vibe in that stadium that when something starts to go wrong, it feels like the team feeds off of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those things are going to manifest themselves on Sunday, but until they don't, you expect them to.
Yeah.
That's totally, as a fan, that's totally fair. Again, I think there's a huge difference between a player's mentality. Look, we always make a huge, but this is a statement game. Is there a chance to just go out there and play? That's not, we view games differently than players do all the time. But I can totally get the fan going, yeah, it's the Steelers. I'm skeptical until you figure out a way to beat them, because you never do.
I get it. I also wonder, like, to me, can that be contagious? I guess that would be my question. Can Terrell Edmunds, who a lot of Steelers fans don't think is good, they drafted him in the first round, they reached on him,
mm-hmm.
and I've talked to some people in Pittsburgh, they're like, why the hell didn't we draft Jesse Bates?
Mm-hmm.
Easier said now than it is back then. But Terrell Edmunds, he's suddenly going to be just play better because he's going against the Bengals. Like, that's what I'm saying. These young players, it shouldn't affect them. Now, does it affect Andy Dalton? Because he's had bad numbers against the Steelers. Does it affect A.J. Green, who's had some good games against Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. also had some clunkers?
Mm-hmm.
Does it affect those guys? Maybe, but it shouldn't affect the players that just got here. Why would it affect Preston Brown? Why would it change the way Cordy Glenn plays or any of these guys? Bobby Hart? It shouldn't, because to me, it's just an AFC North rivalry game to them. They haven't been sliced and diced by Ben over the past six seasons or the past six meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get like, it. I totally agree with you, but it does. I mean, for
and part of it is it's the same coach and the same quarterback, so I get that.
It always looks like the same coaches having their teams looking different for this game. The Steelers look. I brought up, you know, 2 years ago the game in 2016. I sat very close to the Pittsburgh sideline. I watched Mike Tomlin rallying his guys. Mm-hmm. I look across the field. I see Marvin Lewis not saying a word to his guys as things are starting to roll downhill. I don't know if that has anything to do with why the Steelers won that game, but I know how it looks to a lot of people. I know the level of physicality the Steelers bring to this game that sometimes it looks like the Bengals lack. Mm-hmm. I know that when the Bengals play the Steelers, it sometimes feels like Cincinnati allows Pittsburgh to dictate how the game is going to be played. I.e. 2 years ago, Tyler Eifert, with no A.J. Green on the field, gets targeted twice. I.e. last year, Joe Mixon in the second half of the first game gets the ball one time. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. But those things continue to manifest themselves against Pittsburgh. Is that coincidence? Yeah, very good chance it is. But they're there. And until they're not there repeatedly, people are going to assume those sort of things will impede the Bengals' chances of winning against Pittsburgh again.
He's Mo.
Totally get it.
I'm James. This is Cincy 360. We'll play buy, sell, hold in about 10 minutes here on ESPN 1530. I do agree with you in this sense. And I felt it in both home games. I felt it in Atlanta, and I certainly felt it watching from home in Carolina in Indy. And you were at the Indy game, so you could speak mm-hmm. to this too. The doubt that all of a sudden creeps in.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened every week.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say Pittsburgh goes up 10-0 on Sunday, that stadium will be in shock. Let's say the Bengals go up 10-0, and then Pittsburgh answers with back-to-back touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That stadium, there's going to be a point, I think, where that stadium is just like, oh my goodness, it's going to happen again. And you're right. That'll be the moment where it's like, okay, can this team respond? Will Andy find AJ? Will Andy find a safety net in Tyler Boyd? Will Uzama make a play? Will Bill Lazor give the ball to Joe Mixon? Which Joe Mixon's had 100 plus yards from scrimmage every single game he's played in this year. Mm-hmm. He's fared very well. Or averaging over 100 yards per game from scrimmage. So I assume those things are going to happen. And if they do, the way they respond to that adversity shouldn't be any different against Pittsburgh than it is against Baltimore or against Carolina.
You're
right. Or against Atlanta on the road in a hostile environment. So, and the other thing I'll say is this. When the Bengals have had really good teams, for the most part, really good team. I mean, think about it. How many really good teams have they had in the Marvin Lewis era? I would say 05.
Mm-hmm.
There's one.
Mm-hmm.
13.
Mm-hmm.
15.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the three? Mm-hmm. Am I missing any?
I think that the 14 team.
They got derailed by injuries at the end. That's why
I don't. Injuries, but at the beginning of the year, I thought that was a really good team.
All 3 years, they won the division, and they what? They beat the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
If this team is really good, I think they'll handle business Sunday.
Well,
it's a good barometer.
In two of those years, they ended up losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs.
Sure.
So, you know, look, the last three games.
And they were playing with backup quarterbacks.
The last.
I hate to do that.
Sorry, but they, well, the 05 game, they were underdogs. They were not going to win that game, according to Vegas. And I don't believe they would have. So, but they still found a way to lose. They had a four.
Can't believe you're saying
they
that.
Had a lead at halftime, lost. The last three games against Pittsburgh. At Paul Brown Stadium, the Bengals had a lead in the fourth quarter, lost. Different teams, different levels of teams. One defining characteristic, the Bengals blow it. Players change. The 17 team was different than the 15 team for 1,000 different reasons. But the same result, loss.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Marvin's never won the AFC North where he didn't beat Pittsburgh. It's why I put a lot of importance on this game. Because if Pittsburgh wins, suddenly it's back-to-back victories, and now they kind of get things going a little bit. You've got the added sort of sense that they dominate Cincinnati, you know, and then here we go. The Bengals are going to go to Kansas City next week. They're going to be underdogs. Change it. Marvin, the whole theme for the last 10 months has been things are different, and in almost every regard they have been. You talk about, you know, the sense these last 5 weeks that, oh, man, things are about to go downhill. Things are about to fall apart.
And 4 out of 5 times, they didn't. That's different. If things truly are different, if this team's leading in the fourth quarter, they figure out a way to hold on to win. But I totally understand if you need to see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get it. And I, again, your overriding point, why should this matter to the players? It shouldn't, and I don't think it does. I genuinely don't think the Bengals are sitting there today dreading Sunday.
They better not be. I think they should be looking forward to
it. I think they're viewing this as the opportunity that it is, which is to drive a stake into Pittsburgh's season, really separate yourself, and really prove that this team really is different, continue to lead the AFC North, take a step toward the postseason and the division. I believe they're fully embracing it. I don't expect Marvin Lewis to say anything different or revealing about the game this week, but as a fan, you see Bengals, you see Steelers, you expect the worst, and I totally get why, because I've lived it.
Yeah, I get it. I understand it too. I do. I just, to me, that shouldn't affect, and I get you agree with me. I think we agree. I don't want to keep reiterating this. I hope it doesn't affect a 22-year-old that's never played in this game.
I hope it doesn't.
It shouldn't. I hope it doesn't affect Joe Mixon, who's only played in this game twice. I hope it doesn't affect John Ross if he plays Sunday, because I don't know. Has he played against the Steelers? I don't think he did last year.
There have been.
It should not affect these young guys.
It shouldn't.
And it's up to, you know who it's up to? Marvin. And honestly, all the other coaches that have it take a place in this rivalry.
It's up to Andy Dalton. Andy, you're an 8-year starter, okay? You haven't played exceptionally well against Pittsburgh. You do have a lot of guys who lead, okay? Lead them through what this game is. Lead them through it. Yeah, you're right. It's on Marvin and the coaches. Andy, lead your team through it, okay? You're the one that's been there before. You have beaten Pittsburgh. You've lost to them, obviously, more than you've beaten them. Lead this team through it, okay? If it is indeed a different game and some of these young guys haven't been a part of it and they're about to be introduced to what it's like to play the Steelers, who seemingly always get up emotionally for playing the Bengals, lead your team through it. By the way, this is a desperate Pittsburgh team.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Mike Tomlin, you're looking at it going, can we win the division and lose on Sunday? No. So there's going to be an element of desperation there by a team that always comes here and wins. I mean, I talked about this with Rocky Boyman, who's been on the Steelers and played for Mike Tomlin before, who's like, yeah, of course he's treating this week like it's a big week. Number one, look at the standings. Number two, they did win last week. Number three, this coach and this core, which has changed a little bit, they go into Cincinnati with a degree of confidence about, hey, we always win here. And look, there's I said this on the afternoon show yesterday, there's little about the Pittsburgh Steelers as a football team that scares me. There's one guy that terrifies me on defense. T.J. Watt, the guy who's been the best player on the field the last 3 times the Bengals have played the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell, not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Crushed Cincinnati last year. Ben Roethlisberger, on a week-in, a week-out basis, you don't know what you're going to get. The Bengals do have the better team. I believe that. I believe that this Steelers team should not look on paper like it's intimidating. But I felt that way before. I wrote a blog in, I think it was maybe 2015, and it was basically like, hey, relax. This is just the 2015 Steelers, team that you beat in the regular season, team that floundered its way through the regular season, couldn't win its division. Stop being afraid of them. And yet, what happened at the game's most critical moments?
Mm-hmm.
They did the right things and had some outside help, you could argue, to figure out a way to win the game. That's just how fans are wired here with this team, to expect the worst. Now, the Bengals have defied that the first 5 weeks, which is to their credit. But what looms over everything is this game. Want people to jump on board? Want that narrative to stop? It only happens one way. Go win the damn game. And Andy, go lead your team to win with a bunch of young guys who have not really been introduced to this rivalry before. Go win the game.
A big part of that narrative is Vontaze Burfict. You'll hear from Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger on Burfict next. Plus, we'll play buy, sell, hold. He's Mo, I'm James. This is Cincy 360 on ESPN 1530.